just like a tree that's planted by the water.
We want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. It is our desire that each person come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Let us open up with prayer.
Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right.
Well, thank God I'm going to be speaking on the latter rain. Before we get started today, I want to review last week. As you know, and as I was putting together the podcast about the new creation last week, I knew I was going to talk about the old man being slain on the cross of Christ and how we received that through water baptism, and that had to take place. And we needed to receive that and be taught that to become a new creature in Christ. And so as I was putting together that podcast, I came to see that the scriptures before 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it's talking about the new creature in Christ, it talks about the old man being crucified. So, and after that. So once again, it just confirmed to me that I had the mind of Christ in this teaching. Let's look at that. I want to go over that for a little bit. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, that we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now let's compare that with Romans 6:10. For in that he died on the sin once, in that he liveth unto God. See, it's saying the same thing. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed on a sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you compare 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 15 to Romans 6:10, 11, we're dead to sin, then we live unto God. And the death is the death of the old man. It's the sin in us. So clearly, water baptism is necessary to become a new creature in Christ for the old things passing away. Okay? Or the old things passing away is the old man. Okay, now let's go to verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And like I said last week, that's perfection right there. Once you've gotten overcome all your sin, they've all passed away. You got rid of all of them. And you become totally a new creature. All things are new. You've reached perfection. So this is really... The body of Christ needs to get understanding of this. Now, notice the word therefore, when it says therefore if any man be Christ, is a conjunction connecting us to dying to sin. See, it's going back to 14 and 15. And being alive unto God. Now, let's go to verse 21. Here again, after talking about being a new creature in Christ, it says, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now, the word for, you know, for he had made him, is a conjunction connecting Jesus bearing our sin nature on the cross to being a new creature in Christ. Okay? So you see, before and after the scripture about a new creature in Christ, it speaks about dying to sin and being made the righteousness of God. And the more you put this together, and you know, it says the words of God are all plain to him that understand it. Once you get understanding of this, it'll all become real plain. Real plain. You won't have to sit there and go, well, this is what I teach. You'll see it for yourself. Now, let's go to Romans 6 and let's look at the importance of knowing this in our heart. And just consider this. Look how many times it says in Romans 6 the word knowing and know is written. Romans 6, verse 3, know ye not. Verse 6, knowing this. Verse 9, knowing that. Verse 16, know ye not. And there's several different Greek words for know and knowing. One is don't be ignorant, not understand. Other Greek word for know is perceive understand. Another one is perceive, understand, be sure. This is clearly saying to us, we need to know what happened to us in water baptism. And when we know it, we'll have faith for it. And we don't just get to know the Word of God, or we need to get to know the Word of God in our heart, not just in our head, okay? Faith is of the heart. We believe in the heart. I'm telling you, pay attention, because if you know this stuff in your head, there won't be no faith there. When you get it in your heart, faith of God will come alive. And this works for every area in the Word of God. It has to get in the heart to produce faith. Okay. And that's where you'll begin to see results, when you know it in your heart, when you get it in your heart. And then when you have confidence in it, that faith is there, and you use that faith in prayer, then you'll begin to see results, okay? When you're praying in faith, when you're speaking it in faith, when you have your profession of faith out there, speaking what the Word of God says. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 1, Contemporary English Version. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. It was their faith that made our ancestors pleasing to God. See, all the saints that went before us obtained the promises of God by faith. All right? And they're an example to us. Some people, they don't understand, and they ask, why did God just give us all the promises? Why does he make us believe and use our faith to get the promises? See, I used to think that way. But I believe, you know, and I understand more now why God does it this way. It's because it makes us submit to him. It makes us receive correction and walk in his ways for the faith of God to work in us. See, we want these promises. We're going to get them by faith. Well, we're going to have to submit to God. We're going to have to be corrected. We're going to have to walk in his ways. See, so while we're seeking to get what we want from God, he is changing our hearts and making us, conforming us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's making us his beloved sons and daughters. You know, people quote the scripture that the Word of God is a lamp under your feet and a light under your path, but it's not unless you get that word in your heart. Look at Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. As the Word of God enters your heart, then it gives light. Then revelation comes. Then faith comes. Then you pray or speak the Word of God in faith, and what Jesus did on the cross, you know, what Jesus did on the cross for you will manifest in your life. So you have to learn these principles of faith. Now, I want to encourage everyone out there that has been discouraged, the good times are coming. All right? Look at Isaiah 51:11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Once we've been loosed away from our sins and the powers of the devil, and you have to be loosed from the powers of the devil, okay? You know, salvation is not just being saved from our sin. Through the fall of man, we came under the authority of the powers of darkness. And so that's part of what our salvation is to bring us out from underneath that. And so once we've been delivered from our sins and the powers of the devil, we're going to have joy and gladness, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. You know, I had trouble with this, and I can understand where people are coming from. When you apply yourselves to read the Word of God and pray, and your faith isn't working, you can lose heart, okay? But don't lose heart. We're going to help you get your faith working. And that's one of the reasons why I finally came to the place. I was so bogged down with my business and working all the time. I said, I need to go ahead and get my 501c. And it's in the process of being established with the state of Texas. It's been filed with the state of Texas. I'm waiting for them to approve everything. And the reason is so I can lay down my business and go into the ministry, because so I can pray more and I can minister the Spirit more and I can help people get their faith loosed. Okay, let's look into what the Word of God says about the latter rain. Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 1. when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, this was 50 days after Jesus was raised from the dead. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the word utterance is words, and so it's saying they were filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit gave them the words to speak. Okay, now concerning the teaching of the latter rain and God pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, I heard this one minister say that God poured out the former rain on the day of Pentecost, and we're waiting on God to pour out His Spirit in the latter rain. And then I heard another minister say God poured out the former and the latter rain at the first. Now, the first minister was speaking a vision of his own heart, and the second minister had the word of God in his mouth. Because it's written that God poured out His Spirit, the former and the latter rain, at the first month. Let's look at that. Turn to Joel 2:23. See, so if you follow the word of God, you'll avoid. You can speak by the Spirit. You can speak the words of God. You can have the word of God in your mouth. But if you just speak what you think's right, if you just follow what you think is the Spirit of God, you'll speak a vision of your own heart. Joel 2:23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for He have given you the former rain moderately, and He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. That's the day of Pentecost. Okay, and the Apostle Peter made reference to this in Acts 2:16. Let's turn there. And this is after the Spirit was poured out, they all were speaking in tongues. Verse 16, and this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit. And by the way, Jesus said these signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus told them to go wait in Jerusalem. He told them that these signs were going to follow them that believe. They're going to cast out devils, they're going to speak in new tongues. So that is not a Pentecostal doctrine. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great notable day of the Lord come. See? Okay, so we're not waiting on the latter rain of the Spirit of God to be poured out. The former and the latter rain was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Since the days of the Lord Jesus Christ walked on the earth, we've been living in the last days. It said this will come to pass the last days. This is ever since Jesus came upon, he was incarnate. The Lord was incarnate from heaven, and He walked the earth. Let's look at that. Hebrews, not about the incarnation, about the last days. Hebrews 1:3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He have appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. Okay? Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So that was the beginning of the last days when Jesus walked the earth. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, that's the Father, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So we've been living in the last days since the new covenant was brought in, and the new covenant is where we can get our heart, a new heart, and then the Spirit of God can be poured out on us to walk in power. We're going to get into that. I'm going to show you that. And I told you ahead of time what's holding it back. Why isn't the Spirit of God poured out like it was in the book of Acts, where there were mighty signs and wonders and where they were doing the works of Jesus? I'm going to tell you why. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ had received that new heart, and they had become a new creature in Christ. Now turn back to Joel 2:23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for He have given you the former rain moderately, and He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. and I'll restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Now, Peter referred to this. So God is going to pour out his spirit afterwards. After what? Go back to verse 25. And I'll restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. Now, I'm sure Bible scholars will think this is talking about restoring the damage these insects did to Israel's crops. But the rain is talking about here is the Spirit of God. And the restoration is not to the crops, but to the soul of man. And after God has restored his people's soul, then the Spirit will be poured out and God's people will walk in great power. All right? See, that's what Peter was talking about. See, Jesus restored the souls of the disciples. All right? Now, between the time of the resurrection of Christ and the initial pouring of the Spirit that took place in the book of Acts, men and women, since that time, they could have gotten their souls restored and had the Spirit poured out upon them and then walk in power. And there has been some ministers that have walked in power, but not to the magnitude that Jesus and his apostles did, or not very many, okay? Smith Wigglesworth is the most prominent one I can think of right now. Raised 23 people from the dead. He surely walked in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, of course, we've talked about the doctrine. I talked about it last week that was prevalent in the body of Christ, that a person, you know, that they believe that a person is immediately a new creature in Christ, and old things pass away and all things come in as soon as they receive the Lord. But if that were so, they could have the Spirit poured out on them and walk in great power. And I don't know who introduced this doctrine of being a new creature in Christ immediately when you receive the Lord. It may have been Charles Spurgeon, who was a Baptist back in the mid-1800s. And also this doctrine, once saved, always saved, which has twisted the scriptures. And I don't believe a person, you know, will be lost that receive the Lord. You know, I believe they'll keep their salvation as long as they don't turn away from the Lord, go back to walking in willful sin. But to say they couldn't, you know, it's all complete at once is error. Okay, but these scriptures, once saved, always saved, to be a new creature in Christ immediately. Too many scriptures are just, they teach like it's all done at once. They're hindering many from continuing the Lord and getting their souls restored and becoming the temple of God. They could stay filled with the Spirit and walk in the power of God. I think this would be a good place. Let's take a break and put in a song. Let's do He is Jehovah by Pamela Pontia. And you know, I was recently talking to Pam and I said, hey, why don't we, I think it'd be a good time to go ahead and put on another production. Why don't we do In the Shadow of His Wings? And so she started looking into it, and I think we found one soundtrack, but we didn't like it. And she's going to go ahead and do the whole production. You know, you can buy the soundtracks and get a license to play them on social media, but she's going to go into the studio and record it and just get her producer to bring in the instruments. And it's more anointed when you do it that way. But that's coming. That's coming down the road. You know, Pam will sing the lead vocals and the backup. And so that'll be coming. So anyway, let's hear He is Jehovah by Pamela Pontia.
He is Jehovah,
God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the Balm of Gilead, the Rock of Ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the great I Am, the God of Abraham, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I Am, the God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth,
God that healeth thee.
He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah, the Son he sent to you and testified of him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee.
Now, we know right before the Lord comes back, there will be a group of people who have had their souls restored and are walking in great power, because that in Joel 2 is talking about right before the Lord comes. Okay, let's go back to verse 1 in Joel 2 and look at these people. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. I tell you, people of the world are going to be scared when we come out of bondage. You know what it talks about? I forgot where that is. When God brings his people out of bondage, it says there will not be one feeble person among his tribe. There was not one feeble person among the tribes of Israel when God brought them out of bondage. Well, there will not be one weak person when God brings the body of Christ out of bondage. And the world's going to be afraid of us. And we're going to be rich. Read it. Read it. So let me start again. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for his night end. Okay, the Lord's about to come. A day of darkness and gloominess, day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, and a great people and strong, there have not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after them, even the years of many generations. Now let's read how these people got this way. We're going to get into it. Or actually, I already read it. They got their soul restored. A fire devoured before them, and behind them a flame burneth. And the land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them is a desolate wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run, like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountain. They shall leap like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their faces the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone his way, shall not break the rank. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. You can't even hurt this bunch. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter into the windows like a thief. And the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw their sun. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great, very troubled. Who can abide it? Okay? The Lord's about to come. This is the people right before the Lord comes. So we saw that in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were people that got their souls restored. The Spirit was outpoured and they moved in great power. And there'll be a people like this right before the Lord comes. And so God's preparing that day. You know, I'll tell you this. God spoke to me years back and he said that I was going to fulfill my ministry. And just about a couple of years ago, God opened up to me how the Apostle Paul rebuilt the hearts of God's people. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, what is the Apostle Paul building? Well, just go back to verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. See, Paul's the wise master builder. He's building something, and you're God's building. There it is. We are God's building. And this is not referring to Paul rebuilding our bodies, but our hearts. You know, God gave gifts unto men, and it was the gift of Christ in Paul, rebuilding the hearts of the people he ministered to. And God showed me this, so, you know, gave me this revelation of this, so I expect to do the same. See, I have the gift of Christ in me, and I expect to minister the Spirit of God through me, which will rebuild the hearts of men and women. All right? And you know, many, many years ago, I was talking to this lady one time over the phone, and this lady said, God is really ministering to me. And I said, yes. Do you feel the power of God in the lower part of your stomach? She said, yes. And I said, that's where your heart is. And I quoted her Psalm 22, how, or was it 16? One of those, I can't remember, where Jesus said his heart did melt in the midst of his bowel. I think it was 22. And I said, that's where your heart is. That's why you feel it's the lower part of your stomach. And so anyway, God was ministering, you know, I was ministering the Spirit of God to this woman's heart. And that's what changes a person's heart. It's by the Spirit. Okay? Let me show you another place where the apostles and the prophets rebuild the hearts of God's people. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being chief cornerstone. Okay, here the apostles and the prophets are building, and we know we are God's building, okay? In whom all the building, that's us, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple of the Lord. We are the temple of God. And you know, it says that our body, you know, I forgot where that is, says our body is a temple of God. Well, our body becomes a temple of God when our hearts are rebuilt. Because when our hearts are rebuilt, and I'm going to show you this in the parable of the bottles, then we can stay filled with the Spirit, then our body becomes a temple of God. All right? So, your heart has to be rebuilt by the apostle prophet ministry to become the temple of the Lord. Then you can stay filled with the Spirit of God. Otherwise, the Spirit will leak out of you. Okay, verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. See, you're having to be built. Your heart has to be rebuilt to become a habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, I'm not saying you can't get the Spirit of God working in your heart, but it'll leak out. Okay, so notice it said, ye are built. That's you and me are built. And I believe the word together is referring to the body of Christ. We're being built together and our hearts are being rebuilt or born again. Then we become the habitation of God. I'm going to show you how the born again experience is passing away the old man and rebuilding a new man. I don't think I'm going to get into that in this podcast, but that's what that is. So we see we saw the teaching, you got a new heart when you received Christ. It's not true. If you haven't been convinced of it, I'm going to keep going over it until you're convinced. And I'm going to lay it out. And as I minister the Spirit of understanding to you, it'll become plain to you. You'll be able to see it. You won't have to take my word for it. You can look at the Word of God and say, there it is. Okay, so we need to be baptized in water. We have to put to death the old man. We need the ministers of God, starting with the apostles and prophets, to rebuild our hearts. And the other ministers will be involved in ministering to our hearts, the rebuilding of the heart. And it talks about how they need to take heed how they build up their apostles. So Paul was a wise master builder. He laid the foundation, and then another cometh along and buildeth thereunto, but he needs to take heed how he builds upon there. Okay, so other ministers, see, were brought to the perfection by the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. But you start with the apostle, prophet's ministry. Okay, let's look at the parable of the bottles, Luke 5:37. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles, glory be to God, and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. You want the bottles to be burst. Those bottles to be burst. But new wine must be put into new bottles of both are preserved. Now the new bottle is the new man, and the old bottle is the old man, and the Spirit of God is the new one. You have to put to death the old man by the Spirit, by mixing faith with he was crucified with Christ. And then the new man has to be rebuilt. And notice where you're putting to death the old man or the old bottle is perishing. And then also notice the wine is spilled, or in other words, you can't stay filled with the Spirit. Now, I know I'm going fast, so you have to go back and read this parable of the bottles, put all this in place. But once the new bottle or the new man is built, see, then the new man and the Spirit of God are both preserved. In other words, then you can stay filled with the Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? It says, but the new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Okay, when that new man is built, you put the Spirit of God in him, you're preserved. It will no longer leak out. Isn't that wonderful? I love it when I'm filled up with the Spirit, when I'm praying and I'm all full of the Spirit. Oh, it's wonderful. Well, that's where all the body of Christ is going to be after our souls are restored. We're going to stay filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're filled with the Spirit, you can overcome anything. See, that's when you can pray and you can wrestle with the devil in prayer and overcome him. See, a lot of times people are having trouble wrestling with the devil in prayer because they can't even get their faith loose. They pray and they're not even getting their faith stirred up because the devil's got them so bad. And I want to encourage you, if that's where you're at, look, I've been there, and I'm still there part of the time, and it can be discouraging. So don't get discouraged. We're going to pray, and as I break through, I'm going to help you get set free, get your faith to work better and better. But as we get your heart rebuilt, you stay filled with the Spirit, you can overcome anything. Okay, let's read the next verse. Verse 39, no man having drunk old wine straightway desireth the new, for he saith the old is better. Now the old wine is evil spirits, and the old man likes evil spirits better. See, when you first come to the Lord, you'll still love the world. You see, straightway you're going to still, you're not going to desire the new wine. Okay, but as the new man is rebuilt, then you'll love the things of the Spirit of God. This is why people become a Christian, they've received the Lord Jesus Christ, they still love the world. And it takes time for them to develop, to taste and see that the Lord is good. It takes time for their heart to change. Now, there's some times where you can first receive the Lord and you're all excited about the things of God, or you get baptized in the Spirit and it's all exciting and everything, but you still have that old man, and that old man still loves the things of the world. And when some of that excitement wears off, then you'll be wanting the things of the world. You'll still see part of your heart still wants the things of the world. In fact, and then as you get changed a little bit, you'll kind of feel like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, where part of your heart will want the things of God and part of your heart will want the things of the world. And as the old man passes away, your desire for the world will pass away. And as the new man is formed, your desire for the things of God will grow. All right, and that'll help some of you. I remember when God began to expose my heart at the early part of my walk, I thought I got worse. I thought, damn, man, I felt like I was full of sin. Well, no, that's not what happened. What happened was God began to expose all this stuff. And let me tell you something also. Don't be condemned no matter what God exposes in you. Did you know there's some people out there that they were born and they never committed these sins, yet they're bound up with them? Like, I've known of people that were born and had homosexual desires in them. They'd never been involved in that kind of lifestyle. They'd never, ever yielded to that. Yet that was in their heart. And as they started to grow up, all of a sudden, you know how, you know, you, like you're a young man, you begin to grow up and you see the opposite sex and you desire them. You're attracted to them, which there's nothing wrong with that. That's natural. That's the way God made it. Now, the sin in you needs to be purified out, lust and after him and sexual fantasy and all this garbage. But the natural attraction of the opposite sex is normal. I mean, that was one of the fun things about being in high school. We used to look at the girls and say, oh, man, she's beautiful. She's so pretty. And the young ladies looked at the young men and said, oh, he's good looking. You know, and that was all God made, created all that stuff. That's all good and fine. But anyway, I don't want to get off track here. There are people that have bad things in them, and they can't help it. And they're bound severely with this stuff. And God loves you people. He wants to set you free. And there's spirits that have them bound to this stuff. So I don't care what about you is messed up. The Lord wants to set you free. And, you know, he wants to lead you to repentance. But the repentance is will bring about a godly sorrow that will bring repentance to salvation. And what we've seen in the church is a worldly sorrow, which brings about death, you know, trying to make you feel guilty for what you've done or the way you are, trying to just put you down, everything. That won't do any good. That'll just work death in you. So anyway, God won't condemn you for the way you are. And he'll set you free. See, God is so gracious. He will change our hearts to love him. And he knows he has to change our hearts to love him. Now, I'm saying this for my own benefit. And, you know, that, you know, God's given me these revelations. And I believe, therefore, and well, I know this. I know I have the gift of Christ in me. And I know the grace of God's on my life. But in this area, I believe he's given me these revelations so that I also can rebuild the hearts of God's people. See, because it's not me doing it, it's the Spirit of God operating through me. And I'm going to be able, I believe that, and this is why I'm seeking to go into full-time ministry, so I can give myself over to prayer more and overcome more, so I can rebuild the temple. I can rebuild the hearts of God's people and make Christians out of them. And, you know, I believe, you know, that everyone that receives my ministry will have their heart changed to some degree or another. Some will only be changed a little, like 30-fold. Some will be changed more, like 60-fold. Some, I believe, I will be able to take on to perfection and bear 100-fold fruit of the Spirit. And if you have ears to hear, you'll hear what I'm saying. But let me check for time here. We're doing good. We're doing good. I may see what else God wants me to say. But anyway, God does all things after the counsel of his own will. And God's already said he's already said the end from the beginning. He's already said there, we just read that in Joel 2, the people that are going to be right before the Lord. And this is a people that had their souls restored. We also, I forgot where that was. I think it's in Daniel somewhere where it talks about the decline of America. And then about America being the eagle with its wings plucked, which is America in decline, and then the body of Christ being raised up while America's in decline. And I'm still looking, I'm hoping that America's already gone through declining enough that we'll never go back to where we were before, but now we're on the verge of the body of Christ being raised up. But I'm not totally settled on that. I'm not sure where we're at. But I do know that right before the Lord comes, there will be a great people like the world's never seen. And they'll walk in great power. And I do know that during the great tribulation that the Lord is going to go for conquering and to conquer. And that when all the nations, and when he has conquered all the nations and all the kingdoms of this world become his kingdom, the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, then the end will come. That's when the seventh trumpet's going to blow. That's when the Lord, that's when the dead in Christ are going to be raised up. And we're going to be caught together with the Lord. And if you've been taught, if you've been taught that we're not going through the tribulation, that's error. We are clearly going through the tribulation. But know this, right now, I'm speaking this, And I don't know how many others out there are speaking this to get you prepared for the coming of the Lord, to get you prepared to walk, to get your soul restored so that you can stay filled with the Spirit and the Spirit can anoint you to walk in power. But we are going through the Great Tribulation, and I've got podcast on it. There's everything I've got is on my website. It's free for download. And you can go to my blog page, and I've got only on there podcasts on the end times. I've got one on there, and I think it's 11 chapter, 12 chapter. I hadn't looked at it in a while, where how God's going to prepare a place for the body of Christ where we'll be taken care of during the Great Tribulation. And anyway, I believe that's all I've got to speak on today. If there's anybody out there who's never received the Lord Jesus Christ, never been saved, born again, that's a work of spiritual regeneration that God starts in you, the Spirit of Christ enters you, and then God will take you on to perfection. I don't know anybody in the body of Christ that teaches spiritual regeneration as a process. I don't know anybody in the body of Christ that teaches being born again as a process. But I can clearly show you it is. See, says God saved us by his mercy. He saved us with the washing of regeneration and the renewing or the rebuilding of the Spirit of God. And I can show you that rebuilding is ongoing process after you receive Christ. I can show you that spiritual regeneration after, well, this scripture right there tells you it is. But it's clearly there. I don't know why others don't teach this. It looks like to me, and there may be lots of people out there teaching, I've just never heard them, but it looks like to me that too many have followed to the tradition of men, and they hold to it, and they've held up some of these ministers that have been, you know, of great stature in the body of Christ, and they put their confidence in them, and they believe what they said and didn't follow the word of God. Just like this minister said, the former and the latter rain. We got the former rain and we're waiting on the latter rain. And this man has thousands and thousands of people listening to him. Yet he spoke a vision of his own heart. Okay. Well, any one of us could do that if we don't follow what the Word of God says. And there's just too many that they'll speak error. And because people have confidence in these ministers, someone else will hear it and speak the same thing. And they don't seem to go back, check the Word of God, see if what they're saying is scriptural. Okay? And so we need to look to the Word of God, and then we can see what is of God and what isn't. See, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's proper for doctrine. That's how we build our doctrine, from the Word of God. And what one of the errors I've seen in the body of Christ, specifically with the charismatics, is they have... They've had a lack of trying the Spirit. In fact, they got it backwards. What they've done is, and if you ever heard this, they'll sit there and a new teaching will come out and they'll say, oh, we knew that teaching of God because Spirit bear witness to it. Okay, well, you don't try what teaching came for by the Spirit. You try what Spirit by the Word. Now, the Spirit of God will reveal to you that teaching and show it to you in the Bible. Okay? But you don't go and say, oh, I know that word, that brother, this new word he brought forth is of God because I felt the Spirit bearing witness. Well, that's how they got deceived on a lot of these doctrines. You know? Because you have to understand, God is a spirit, so is the devil. And the devil can give you spiritual revelation. The devil can give you can cause you to have a spiritual experience. One big minister in the Bible, one leader in the charismatic movement, said the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him, and he said when Jesus appeared to him, he didn't have any marks in his hands. He didn't have the scars in his hand. Now think about that, folks. When the Jesus of Nazareth, when he appeared to his disciples, he had scars in his hand, and he had already been healed. So who was that appeared to this minister? All right? We need to follow the Word of God. We need to see if you follow the Word of God. The more you follow the Word of God, less chances you have of being deceived. But if you just believe spiritual experiences, you'll be deceived. Okay? So if there's any person out there that's never received the Lord Jesus Christ, this is eternal life, folks. This is Jesus Christ is true God and eternal life. So call upon the name of the Lord. It said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? As many as received him, Jesus Christ the Lord, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God. So say this prayer to me. Lord Jesus, I just receive you. I call upon the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Repeat what I'm saying. I receive you, Lord Jesus. I call upon your name. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Now, if you've said that prayer and you mean it, Spirit of Christ is entering into you. God started a good work in you, and he will perform it until the day he comes. Okay? And it doesn't, it's a gift. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you make Jesus Christ Lord over your life, walk with him, let him take you as far as you can, and you'll go to be with him forever. All right? You don't have to reach perfection. You don't have to, reach perfection. Just walk with the Lord, and he'll take you to be with him, either when you die or when he comes back to get us. That's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
Hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water.